All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be doing our 90 days of features within 20 minutes, but we also have a lot of announcements that are that have come out with MS Build just happening. And so the team here is going to discuss some of the announcements that came around Build, along with the Microsoft Teams announcements in the last 90 days. So I'm going to pass it over to Dino to lead us off.
Thanks, Hab. So getting right into the list of new functionality. So we've one of the announcements was Microsoft Lists. And Lists is a 365 app that helps you track information and organize your work. So you can track things like issues, assets, routines, contracts, inventory, and a lot more other things using customizable views and smart rules and alerts to keep everybody in sync. So this is brand new and not yet released, so it'll be interesting to see where it plays with respect to like Planner and To-Do. So we'll keep an eye on that. Maybe we'll do a talk about it again in a future podcast. Also, an updated feature, we've got the ability to invite groups or distribution lists to Teams meetings. Previously, when you were wanting to invite a DL, you had to do it through the Outlook add-in. So now you've got the ability to schedule a meeting and add a DL or a group right from the Teams client. Microsoft's announced support for Ignite. EGNYTE is a third-party cloud storage provider that provides secure enterprise file sharing. So their support for that has been announced in Microsoft Teams. We've got screen recording available in Stream. So if you ever wanted to create a video before, you had to use a third-party tool, maybe use the Windows key G to bring up the Xbox recording functionality. So you can now do this all natively in Stream through Chrome browser or Edge, record up to a 15-minute video, and then you can trim it and do all the transcription and everything that you're used to in Stream. So that's kind of neat. Teams is increasing their membership from 10,000 from 5,000 users, which is great. Just a note, though, that the org-wide Teams will still only support 5,000 users. Inline edit for OneNote in Teams. So you can now edit your OneNote content just like you can a Word doc or an Excel document in Teams. Contextual searching is coming to Teams. So this is great. You're in a channel and you want to search for something, you can now do Control F and search for specific content right within the channel, which is amazing. The searching functionality is something that has been in need of some improvement. So that's a great step. And we've got a change to in Islands mode. So today in Islands mode, users have the ability to schedule meetings in both Skype and Teams. So that's why it's Islands mode. So they're releasing a feature, curiously, to set a policy to force the user in Islands mode to be able to schedule a meeting only in Teams. So this will just prevent the use of the Skype add-in. And I suppose they're doing that more or less to help you organizations move further down the path to get to Teams. So I'm not a big fan of Islands mode in general, and but I guess this will help users take the next step into scheduling their meetings in Teams. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Michael to continue on with some more features.
Thanks, Dino. Yeah, there's quite a bit of announcements that have been happening over the last couple of months. Some of the ones on the mobile client are the fact that your pinned personal apps in the Teams client will now be visible within the mobile client. So if you're pinning things like the Get Started app or maybe an FAQ bot or some other apps within your organization, you can now get the access to those on your mobile device through the app drawer. And these are, you know, these could be power apps and some other integrations that you're doing within your Teams client. Going from that, also you're able to, soon you'll be able to have the ability through devices that are enrolled, so enrolled mobile devices, you'll be able to, as an administrator, control what accounts can sign into that Teams client on that mobile device. And you can limit that mobile device to only being able to connect to one of the corporate accounts. So you can really control kind of that data on that device from the Teams client perspective. another option is coming out kind of across all the Outlook versions, so web, mobile, and the desktop client, is the ability to turn on a setting that all your Teams meet or all your meetings will be booked as Teams or Skype for Business online meetings. And so that will, you know, kind of get around that scenario where you're creating these events and maybe you forgot to click the, you know, make it a Teams meeting. I'm hoping that extends in the scenario where you have like rooms. And so if you have like those booking panels and those integrations where you book a meeting or you reserve a meeting room, and that behind the scenes, it will make that always a Teams meeting. That'd be pretty powerful instead of having to do some scripting around that. So we'll see how that works. The PowerShell commands are available now to enable it. I haven't seen it actually turn on anything yet, so that should be coming. Another item is around reverse number lookup, so doing PSTN and telephony, the ability to have the caller ID showing up in your Teams client activity feed, as well as in the call history and voicemail. So before it was just showing the number in some of the areas in the client, and the experience wasn't fully consistent. So this is a great improvement for those that are using Teams as their office phone and kind of moving to Teams for telephony. There's been some rework done on the Skype Consumer Federation with Microsoft Teams. Some of the early testing, provided some results that Microsoft is now making some changes to the architecture. So although the rollout is delayed, that should be still coming soon. So the ability to do like voice and video calls from Teams to a Skype Consumer client. And then one of the big ones in education is the ability now as an organizer to have a little bit more control on your meetings. So when you book a meeting, you can go into the meeting settings and you have the ability to make all participants wait in the lobby. So in a scenario where you're maybe making class teams for classrooms, you can make sure that the students are staying in the lobby and not getting into the meeting experience before the instructor is there. And then another one around meetings is the expansion of meetings that had a limit, a maximum limit of 250 people. That's now being expanded to 300. There was some messaging around it going to like about 350 people until September. That has been retracted, and I think now it's going to be 300 kind of going forward. So look forward to those quite a bit, or those large meetings. And then just kind of to round it out, The Office 365 groups have been kind of rebranded to Microsoft 365 groups. So similar to some of the licensing, Office 365 Business, a lot of these items are being rebranded to the Microsoft 365 naming culture. With that, I will pass it to Curtis to talk about some of the announcements from Build.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Yeah, in terms of MS Build and what's new in terms of Teams development, there's a lot of announcements. So we'll go through a couple of the big ones. There was a new Visual Studio Code extension for Teams. So if you're developing Teams apps in Visual Studio Code, this extension just makes it easy to build Teams app projects, the scaffolding, configure features of the application, and package it all up. I've never used it myself. I've used the App Studio, which is a Teams app that you can use to build Teams apps. And there was an update to that too, some new enhancements, which include better error detection and a validation tool to make sure all your Teams apps, how it's configured and all its configuration passes all the tests to be published to the store. Also, a lot of announcements around Teams integration with the Power Platform, specifically Power Virtual Agents. So Power Virtual Agents is a new product added to the Power Platform. Of course, there's three others. There's Power Automate, which used to be Flow, Power Apps, which used to be Logic Apps, and Power BI. So now with Power Virtual Agents, they're targeted as a low-code chatbot platform, just making it really, really easy for the citizen developer to develop chatbots. And there's bot templates for things like FAQs, and they now support single sign-on with Teams. So if you have a Power Virtual Agent embedded in Teams, it'll support that single sign-on experience. So that just makes it really easy to light up chatbots in Teams. Also, Power virtual agents, they're developed outside of Teams, and there's a new feature where once you've developed it, you've tested it, something like an FAQ bot, you can just easily right-click and add the bot to Teams right from the Power platform. So again, that just makes it a lot easier. There's some new Power Automate actions for shifts. So if you use shifts, you can use Power Automate to automate all sorts of scenarios. And there's actions in Power Automate that support shifts. So that just makes it easier to orchestrate your workflows around shifts. This one is significant. There's improved Power BI sharing to Teams. So there's a lot of use cases that are really powerful in terms of embedding Power BI dashboards in Microsoft Teams. What you can do now in the Power BI dashboard is once you have your Power BI dashboard all configured how you like it, you can actually publish it to Teams right from the Power BI dashboard. So that just makes it a lot easier. There's, again, with the more development news, granular permissions. So Microsoft has recently added 24 new granular permissions for the Teams Graph API. So what this is, for Teams apps that need consent to various parts of Teams, this allows that consent to get very granular right down to the team level to the specific resource. So when an end user is installing the Teams app, they can only consent to absolutely the minimum required in terms of that app's access to Teams. So it's keeping in line with the Graph API, there's a new Graph API for subscribing to notifications from app messages. So if a user installs a Teams app, there's new endpoints for subscribing to notifications from that application. And that's about it for on the development front. Habib, I think there was some new announcements around management capabilities with Teams.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. Yeah, from a management perspective, there's a certain amount of features that have come out. One starting off with is the Microsoft Teams room management via the Microsoft Teams Admin Center. So previously, you had the ability to manage Microsoft Teams phones and the new collaboration bars. The ability now is to include the Microsoft Teams rooms management as an option so that you can see all of the devices that you have from a meeting room perspective, ensure that, you know, they're up and running, if there's any issues, you know, update their firmware, et cetera, and apply different policies that you have set up for those specific devices. So that's a new feature that's coming to the team rooms. Next is the call quality dashboard. Version 2 data is going to be retired. So as of July 1st, if you're using the cqd.link.com, I start using the cqd.teams.microsoft.com. That's where Microsoft will continue to improve or add their investments there. So prior to June 30, you should upload your building and tenant information into the CQD V3 so that you can ensure that you're understanding that the data, like how the data works, and you're measuring sort of apples to apples on the reporting side of things. They've moved from five summary reports to 11 summary reports. They've added an additional 6. The CQD V3 data includes Skype for Business Server 2019 calls, also Skype bot calls, such as Auto Attendant, Call Queue, Conference Announcement Service, virtual desktop interface, conference video interop, and it also includes live event publisher and presenter calls, along with PSTN. So if you wanted to build your own custom reporting, they do have a Microsoft Call Quality connector and Power BI templates so that you can customize your own reporting for the call quality and the data that's there. So next up would be the general availability of automatic classification with sensitivity labels in Microsoft 365. So utilizing the new Microsoft Information Protection and Unified Labeling framework, it lets you automatically classify and protect content based on policy rules that administrators can configure. So that's a net new feature. So it differs obviously from the manual labeling, because based on the certain data that may be within the files or the content that within that, it'll automatically apply the label and or protect it if needed, right? So whether it's an Excel, PowerPoint, Word files that are stored at rest in OneDrive and SharePoint, as well as emails in transit in Exchange. So it's able to do that. Next is improving IT's admin's ability to manage applications. So when, you know, as Curtis was mentioning, there's a lot of these new citizen developers that may be creating and publishing applications within your environment. So if they want to publish the application to Teams, the IT the Teams administrator will now get a notification to say there's a new submission from X user or employee. And then they have the ability to review, reject, approve, and publish those custom applications directly from the Teams Admin Center. Next would be the third-party subscription purchase experience. So, you know, as third-party applications are approved and enabled within Microsoft Teams, the IT administrators can purchase those third-party subscriptions, like in-app subscriptions for those applications, and publish those and assign licenses for those users, and then also pin to targeted employees from within the Teams Admin Center. Addition to that, you know, there's new controls to enhance the Teams app discoverability experience. So this is where I think currently right now, you know, you can pin certain applications to the overflow menu. So they're going to improve a little bit more of that, where you can push down the applications to install for certain users. And then lastly, echoing what Kurt has mentioned with regards to consenting the Graph API permissions. So being able to give the developers a little bit more flexibility and granularity. So from a granular permission perspective, the devs can now, you know, they can narrow the app access scope. So to the team data, as opposed to all the data within the team. So or all Teams data itself, and then try and filter through it. So those are the announcements that have come out from the management side of things. And we definitely filtered the list quite a bit to some of to the ones that we have felt that, you know, were really important. There's a significant amount of features that have been announced and or released and are coming, and we'll make note of those in the blog post as well, and keep up to date with the, I guess the Message Center has a lot of those as well. So.
And just one real quick update of you too. With all these announcements too, I mistakenly said that Logic Apps was renamed to Power Apps. That is separate. So Logic Apps is a separate Azure feature used to orchestrate processes and workflow on the Azure side. Power Apps is still that low-code experience in the Power Platform. It's just Power Automate that Flow was renamed to Power Automate. So that's just a correction on that.
Okay, cool. No, that's awesome. Cool. Yeah. So again, a lot of features that have been announced. We'll include those in the blog post as well, in the links where we received the or filtered through the information. So the TechNet tech community articles and stuff like that. So yeah. So great session. Thanks everybody for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thanks.
All right. See everybody.